heard the message one this morning, welcome along to our service. And it's good to see each one that's gathered here this morning. Greet you all this morning in the name of our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
open and commit our service to the Lord. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you this morning that we have had this opportunity granted by you to come together and meet up in the precious name of our Saviour, Jesus Christ. And your word declares that where two or three are gathered together in your name, that you'd be in our midst. Lord, this morning we just pray indeed that each person will feel your presence and each person will feel your touch this morning and each person will hear your voice this morning also in the precious name of Jesus Christ we pray. As we gather here, Lord, especially, Lord, at this time of year, Lord, to remember the cross, the crucifixion, Lord, the death, the burial, and the resurrection of our risen Saviour. And Lord, we say thank you, Jesus. We thank you, Lord, for the shed blood. We thank you, Lord Jesus Christ, for the empty tomb. Lord, we thank you, Lord Jesus Christ, that you're seated at the right hand of the Majesty on high, and you ever live to make intercession for the saints. Lord, we thank you also, your word declares that you're a priest who can be touched by the feelings of our infirmities. And Lord, we know you care for us. Lord, Peter said, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Lord, what a wonderful comfort it is to know that someone cares. And Lord, not by word only, but also in deed. Indeed, Lord, you cared so much, Lord God, that you gave your only begotten Son. And Lord, you delivered him over into the hands of sinful men to do with him what they would. But Lord God, we thank you, Lord Jesus Christ, it was for our benefit and for our sakes that you done it. We thank you, Lord Jesus Christ, that you were a willing and obedient sacrifice. We thank you, Lord, that you took our place. You took our condemnation. You took our hell. You took our pain, suffering, and shame. And Lord, we just pray now in the name of Jesus Christ that you'll help us to be appreciative of it. For Lord, no other man or no other man, not a multitude, not an army, could ever accomplish what you accomplished by yourself when you went to that cross. Lord Jesus, we thank you that you are the greatest victor that ever lived. And your word declares, this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Lord, we ask you this morning that you'll bless the pastor as he comes and shares your word. And Lord, for each one that's gathered here, we pray, Lord, if there's any in our midst that's needing a special touch from you, a special word from you, Lord, that you'll visit especially that person and let them know, Lord, that you care, Lord, for indeed you do. Pray, Lord Jesus Christ, that you'll minister unto each and every one of us in the precious name of Jesus Christ. If there's any sick amongst us, touch us. For indeed, Lord, your word declares you are the great physician. And we know, Lord, that your word also says that Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, on today, on forever, Lord. Lord Jesus, we just pray now, Lord, that you'll receive glory and honour and praise to yourself. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Amen. We'll sing another hymn. Pardon me, if you know it, please join along. I'm sure most of us know it. He didn't come down. Often I start to think, just where would I be? Had Jesus come down from that grove tree, there'd be no hope for man, no peace to be found. Praise God, I am glad that he
bless each and every one this morning, and appreciate each and every one that's came along. I trust the Lord will bless each one and encourage each one this morning. Praise God. And the Lord bless each one. Praise God. I believe that this is the greatest day of remembrance in all history. That's what I believe. I believe that the resurrection of Jesus Christ is the greatest event that ever took place in mankind, that ever took place in history. This is the greatest event ever. This event should be preached about more than any other event. This event should be talked about more than any other event. And I believe the devil today has a tactic about to get preachers to preach about this and that. But God wants us to preach the cross. And Paul the Apostle said that I might know nothing else amongst you save Jesus Christ and Him crucified. And I want to say from the start of this service this morning that I'm here to preach Jesus Christ. I'm not here to preach about coronavirus. I'm not here to preach about an injection. I'm here to preach about the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm here to preach that Satan was defeated and Satan was conquered at Calvary by a man called Jesus. I'm here to tell you that the tomb's empty, that the grave's empty, that Christ is risen from the dead, and He wants you to have life, and He wants you to have it more abundantly. Praise His lovely name. Now, I'm excited. You know, I'm a bit intoxicated this morning. I want you to know that at the very start of this meeting, I have a hangover because I'm drunk on the wine of the Holy Ghost. And I tell you, I want to God that every one of us would be drunk on the wine of the Spirit of Almighty God. That we'd be filled with the Spirit. That we'd be led by the Spirit. That we'd preach under the Spirit. Praise God. And I tell you, God has given us freedom. The world wants us to lock down. But Jesus broke the lockdown. Jesus broke the lockdown. The lockdown couldn't hold Jesus. But the stone was rolled away to let them in, but not to let Him out. No cave could hold Him. No stone could hold Him. He's risen, and risen indeed this morning. Praise His name. I better read a scripture before I get started. You know, an old preacher said, that's just a wee bit. First of all, I haven't got started yet. Praise God. Oh, hallelujah. Matthew 28, verse 6. Let's turn to Matthew 28, verse 6. Oh, I would that you would see Jesus. Don't want you to see nothing else. I tell you, the devil wants you to concentrate on everything else to take your attention off the Lord. Matthew 28, verse 6. He is not here, for He is risen. And as He said, come see the place where the Lord lay. Let us bow again this morning before the Lord. Father in heaven, we thank Thee for Thy wonderful mercy and for Thy grace. Oh God, we love the words of John 3:16. God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Lord, I pray You'll help this preacher. I pray You'll help every one of us in these vehicles to hear the word of the Lord. Bless Your children. Save the unsaved. Heal the sick. Bless those that's bereaved. Comfort them. Strengthen them. In the name of the Lord. Now I do take the blessed Holy Spirit to help me. And I thank You that You do. In Jesus' precious name. Amen. Amen. All four Gospels authors acknowledge that Christ yielded up or gave up the ghost. Our Lord and Savior gave his life, as he showed with a fig tree in Mark 11. Jesus Christ took power to give life, and he had power to take life. And when he passed that tree and it had no fruit upon it, he cursed it. And the next day when they passed by it, the disciples marveled that it was already dead. No one took the life of Jesus. I want to tell you, there's many programs and many films about the cross. And many of them say that they blame people for taking the life of Jesus. But the Bible's clear. Jesus Christ came to go to Calvary. That was his purpose. That was his plan. He was sent by the Father on a mission. A mission to go to the cross. A mission to take our sins. A mission to take our sickness. A mission to take our suffering. A mission at Calvary. And he fulfilled the mission at Calvary. And on the third day, God raised him from the dead. Hallelujah. The tomb was emptied. The cross is emptied. We don't need to wear a cross. We don't need to look at a tomb. The cross is empty. The tomb is empty. Jesus is risen. Hallelujah. From the dead. Oh, he's wonderful, isn't he? Matthew, Mark, Luke, all record just before giving up the ghost. Matthew 27:50, when Jesus had cried again with a loud voice. With a loud voice. And he yielded up the ghost. And you remember, indeed, he was uttering a great cry of triumph. For he had flawlessly finished his awesome responsibility that he'd been foretold of all the prophets. All the prophets spoke of the coming of Christ. Do you realize your Old Testament's all about Jesus? It's foretelling Jesus. When you read the Old Testament, if you don't see Jesus, read it again. Every time you read it, you should look for Jesus. Every time you study it, you should look for Jesus. Jesus Christ was foretold throughout the Old Testament. Then in the New Testament, we see the Lamb of God. We see the man of Calvary. We see the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Hallelujah. The great mission of the babe, born in a stable, led in a manger, was gloriously fulfilled. At the moment Jesus gave up the ghost, behold, the veil of the temple was rent in twain from the top to the bottom. You know, the veil in the temple, in the old temple, was the thickness of a man's hand. I want you to get this. The thickness of a man's hand, woven, thick, and all the colors. I could preach a whole sermon on the colors. But it was rent from the top to the bottom. God rent the veil in the old temple because he was saying the Old Testament's finished. We're in the New Testament. We're no longer are under the law. But Christ said he abolished the old law and he gave us the New Testament. Grace is what we're living under today. The prostitute today can be saved. The drunkard today can be saved. The homosexual can be saved. The downright low can come and get saved because of the word grace. For by grace are you saved through faith, and not that of yourselves. My friend, don't ever think you're on a pedestal and you're ever so holy. Every single one of us was like the pigs in the field. We were as low as a dog and as filthy as any animal you can think of. We were absolutely lost and undone without God and his Son. But God, rich in mercy, reached down and saved us and delivered us. Never think you're too low for God to reach you. Never think you're too far away for God to reach you. God can reach you no matter where you are. God can reach you no matter how low you are. The Spirit of God can do it. He can lift you up and deliver you by his mighty power and his hand. Jesus cried these words. Matthew 27:50-53. When Jesus had cried again with a loud voice and yielded up the ghost. And behold, the veil of the temple was rent, and twain from the top to the bottom, the earth did quake, and the rocks rent, and the graves were opened, and many bodies of the saints which slept arose, and came out of the graves after his resurrection, and went into the holy city, and appeared unto many. In Matthew 27, verse 54, you notice this, a centurion and others nearby who had been watching Jesus became afraid. They became afraid when they heard the earthquake. They became afraid because the power of God was moving at the resurrection. Now when the centurion and they that were with him watching Jesus saw the earthquake and those things that were done, they feared greatly. They feared greatly, saying, "Truly this was the Son of God." My friend, this morning our preaching should be about the Son of God. Our preaching should be full of preaching about the Son of God. No decoy. Don't take the decoy. Many preachers have took the decoy and they're running with the decoy. But Paul the Apostle never run with the decoy. He run with his gospel. And the Bible says the gospel is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. God won't deliver over a broken stick or a broken promise or a broken word. But we must stay with the true, pure word of God. And then God will back his word and perform that very word. Praise God. Even after Christ was dead, prophecies about Jesus Christ continued to be fulfilled. John detailed one of them. The crucifixion, you know, takes many hours, many hours. It's a process, a painful, bloody process. Sometimes in order to speed up the process and make sure that the victim's dead, the soldiers go round, and if the victim's still living while they're on the cross, the soldiers break their legs. They smash their legs. They break their legs so that they'll die faster and quicker. But the Bible had said, not a bone of his body, Psalms 34:20, shall be broken. And when they came to Jesus, they marveled that he was already dead. No soldier could take the life of the Savior. No Jewish people could take the life of the Savior. But Jesus said, "I have power to lay my life down, and I have power to raise it again." Hallelujah! The same Jesus that had power to lay his life down and power to raise it again is the same Jesus when you receive him and he comes into you, into your heart and into your spirit and into your soul. He'll resurrect you from the inside to the outside. He'll quicken you. He'll birth you. And he'll make you a new creature in Christ Jesus. And you'll never be the same again. Praise God. You that saved this morning, I want to tell you the Lord's coming for you. The Lord's coming for you. There's no injection. There's no COVID. There's no rules in this world will stop it. When Jesus comes for you, if you're really saved and sealed with the Holy Spirit, you're going to go up in the rapture. You're going to leave this earth. And you're going to leave everything behind. And you're going to go to be with the Lord. Praise God. I tell you, Jesus is coming soon. The coming of the Lord is imminent. It's imminent. All these things that's happening are signs of the near coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Wars, rumors of war, pestilence. We see we're in a there's pestilence. And all these things Jesus foretold would come. But believer, take courage. There's hope for the believer because Christ is coming again. These words were fulfilled, and when they came to Jesus, John 19, verse 33, and saw he was dead already, they break not his legs. Thus fulfilled the prophecy foretold in Psalms 34:20. John's next words seemed at the time unbelievable. John's next word in John 19:33. When they came to Jesus and saw that he was dead already, they brake not his legs, but one of the soldiers with a spear pierced his side, and forthwith came the right blood and water. John then also writes another verse to make sure we believe him. verse 35, he wants to make sure you believe his record. And he saw it per record, and his record is true. And he knoweth that he saith true, that ye might believe. God wants you to believe. You know, if you don't believe in the resurrection of Jesus Christ, you're not saved. I hear a lot of people's made doctrines. If you don't believe our message or our church or this or that, you're not saved. All that's rubbish. You have to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ to be saved. And when you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, you're saved. You're saved for all time. You're saved for all eternity. None have I lost that thou hast given me. That's the words of Jesus. I believe his words over every other man's words. The Bible says, let a man be a liar, but let God's words be the truth. He's not a man that he should lie, neither the son of man that he needs to repent. His words are yea and amen in Christ Jesus. This is interesting with our current medical understanding, that what John observed could indeed have happened due to the beating, the scourging Christ had received shortly before being nailed to the cross. He had lost a significant amount of blood because his body weight, the weight of Jesus Christ on the cross, was suspended by his arms hanging on the tree. His lungs became compressed and breathing became difficult. I want you to see the suffering of the Savior this morning. I want you to see that he suffered for you. He suffered for me. He bled for you. He bled for me. Isaiah 53 tells us that he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquity. And with his stripes we are healed. You're healed by the stripes of Jesus. Just like you're saved through believing in Jesus Christ, you can be healed by the stripes of Jesus, wounded for you and wounded for me. I want to take you for a moment, just for a moment, on a little journey with me. And I'm watching the clock, but I want to take you for a moment. I wouldn't do this justice if I didn't show you the wounds of the Savior. Wounds, according to the medical definition of the surgeon, are divisions of the soft parts of the body by mechanical force applied externally. And they are classified by the different characteristics. Five wounds he bore on Calvary. You know, it would make me weep in this pulpit when I think of the Savior and I think of these wounds, the contused wounds, a lacerated wound, a perforating wound, a penetrating wound, and an incised wound. Jesus bare all these wounds for you and me. We see in our opening text, if you look at Isaiah 53 and 5, each kind of wound is included upon the Savior's body. The contused wound, a wound produced by a blunt instrument such as a result from a blow of a rod. And Micah foretold they shall smite the judge of Israel upon his cheek. Jesus Christ was smitten on his cheek. This contused wound was caused because he was smitten on his cheek. Smitten for you and me. When your brother or sister offends you, think of the Savior. Think what he suffered. Think of what he went through. And then have grace to say, Lord, forgive them. Lord, have mercy upon them. Don't condemn them. Don't bite them down with the words like the two thieves on the cross. The Bible says he gnashed upon them with their teeth. Oh, there's people today, and they'll gnash you with their teeth, even saved people. Boy, they would give you some redding up, wouldn't they? But I tell you, think of the lovely Savior. And don't ever do that. Look at this second wound, a lacerated wound, a wound produced by a tearing instrument. Laceration of the tissue was a result of the scourging. Scourging had become a fine art amongst the Romans at the time of the Lord's submission till its infliction. The Roman scourge was a mighty tail lash, each thong tipped with metal or ivory, so that in the hands of a cruel expert, the sufferer might truthfully say, Psalms 129 verse 3. The plowers plowed upon my back. They made longer furrows. The back of Jesus was whipped, and the back of Jesus was like a plowed field. One scripture says it cut off his hair at the back of his neck, and his flesh peeled from his shoulders, and it peeled down over his buttocks. That's the suffering that Jesus went through. That's what the Bible tells us. His back was like a plowed field. It was ripped to pieces with a scourge. And then people say, can I be healed? My Bible says, with these stripes and wounds, these were done for your healing. Jesus paid for your healing on the cross. Look at this third wound, a penetrating wound, a deep wound caused by sharp pointed instrument like the crown of thorns. And you know the Jerusalem thorn, they say, could have been 4 inches long. And they took that thorn and they made a crown in mockery, saying, King of the Jews. And they put the thorn upon his brow and they beat the crown of thorns into this lovely brow, and the blood came streaming down over his eyes and over his beard and over his face. The blood of Jesus Christ that cleanses from all sin came pouring down his face and pouring down his cheeks because of this crown of thorns, this crown of mockery. And the thorns speak of the curse, for God cursed the earth and it brought forth thorns and thistles. And here was a curse on the brow of the Savior, because Galatians 3 tells us that he took the curse of the law for me and you. Jesus took the curse and he broke the curse, hallelujah, at Calvary. Why did he get that this morning? A lot of people say, I might have a curse on me. I want you to know that the power of Jesus Christ on the cross will break every curse from you and off your family. Jesus under the crown of thorns is symbolic, and yet it's prophetic, because he took the curse so that the curse on me and you could be lifted and broken. Hallelujah. What a Savior. What a Savior that he took the curse for me and you. Oh, the soldiers pressed down the cruel diadem. Matthew 27, 29, John 19, verse 2. A circle of wounds ensued. Wounds which are deepened by the blow of the reed by which they smote him. In Matthew 27, 30. Then look at this fourth wound. A perforating wound. A perforating wound, from the Latin word meaning to pierce through. To pierce through. They pierced through my hands. Psalms 22, verse 16. They pierced through my hands. Jesus was not nailed to the cross on his wrists. I hear people putting up stuff. They nailed his wrists. The Bible says his hands. His hands. And when he comes back to the Jewish people and they see his hands and his feet, the Jewish people will say, where did you receive these wounds on your hands and your feet? And Jesus will say, in the house of my friends, I received these wounds. Jesus' hands was pierced. Pierced through for you. Pierced through for me. Jesus done it for you. Jesus done it for me. Salvation cost a lot. There was a price paid, a price that you couldn't pay, a price that I couldn't pay, a price that Moses couldn't pay, a price that Elijah couldn't pay, a price that no prophet of the Old Testament could pay. But God sent his only begotten Son the whole way to Calvary. God turned his back on him, and the earth blacked out, darkness for 3 hours, because God's judgment that we should have had, that we should have took, Jesus took it for us, so that we can be free, so that we can be saved, so that we wouldn't have to go to hell, but we could go to heaven. I tell you, Jesus Christ suffered for me and you, the hands pierced through. The iron spikes were driven between the bones, separating but not breaking. This crucifixion was not practiced as a means of capital punishment by the Jews, and the words must therefore have been puzzling to the writer of the Psalms. But at that early date, God was thereby signifying what death he would die for him. Who knows the end from the beginning? Only God. The Roman subjugation of the Jews at the time of the Messiah's event, and his cutting off by this painful death of crucifixion, were all foreknown and foretold by God. I want you to see this last wound, and I'm cutting out a lot of stuff for way of time. The incised wound, a cut produced by a sharp-edged instrument, but one of the soldiers pierced his side with a spear. Forthwith come out blood and water, John 19:34. The wound was inflicted after the death of the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ really died. Why did I get this morning? He really died on the cross. He died for you. He died for me. He died that we might be saved. He died that we might go to heaven. He is the first fruits of the resurrection. When he was here on earth, he said, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it will abide alone. But Jesus Christ died and went into the ground, and God on the third day raised him from the dead. Hallelujah! And here in Easter, we're here to celebrate the greatest event that ever took place. The greatest event in the history of this world is the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. Because God dealt the devil a blow that he'll never be fit to recover from. The Bible says in Genesis that you will bruise his head and he will bruise thy heel. The seed of the woman, speaking of the Savior. And the Savior bruised the head of the serpent. And if you want to kill a serpent, you must bruise his head. And the devil's head is bruised this morning. It was Christ at Calvary. Jesus, give us a victory. Hallelujah. Oh, praise God for it. Due to the soldiers breathing, hanging on the cross, hanging, his lungs began to collapse. Jesus' lungs was closing in because he was hanging and he could hardly breathe. In other words, he could hardly exhale. He had the weight of his body pushing by his feet. He would have to push up to take the weight of his arms. The feet that were pierced, the feet that were nailed, the hands that was pierced, the hands that was nailed. There he was hanging, all his weight on the nails. He couldn't breathe. He was coming to take his last breath. And as he came to take his last breath, he cried those wonderful words, Father, forgive them. And before he said, it's finished. The sixth sign, it's finished. But the last thing he said, the last words he said, into thy hands I commend my spirit. Father, into my hands I commend my spirit. Safe in the arms of Jesus. My friend, have you committed yourself to the Lord this morning? Did you pray this morning, Lord, I commit myself to you. Put yourself in the hands of the Master, the man that walked the shores of Galilee, the man that walked upon the water, the Lord Jesus Christ. Place your life in his hands. He will keep you. He'll secure you. He'll take you over the troubled waters, and he'll land you safe on the other shore. Praise God. What if death comes? What if death takes one of us? Then we can say with the 1 Corinthians 15:53, O death, where is thy sting? O grief, where is thy victory? For it's swallowed up at Calvary. When you're really saved and death comes, it's not a defeat, but it should be a victory, a promotion. A promotion from this scene of time into the glory, into the presence of the Master, who said in John 14, I am going away to prepare a place for you, that where I am, there you may be also. Hallelujah. A place, what does it say about it? I have not seen, ear hath not heard, neither has it entered into the heart of man, the things that God has prepared for them that love him, who are called according to his promise. With the excruciating combination of difficulty and bleeding, the loss of blood, Christ was not receiving the needed oxygen that the natural would be delivered through the body. I tell you, he was taking his last breath, and as his breathing became more labored, his heartbeat grew faster and faster, trying to compensate for the lack of oxygen. Fluid built up in his lungs. Christ was already dead when the soldier pierced his side. He was already gone. Releasing the body, the blood, and the water. And every scholar that studies the Bible and studies the medical side of it will tell you this here. That Jesus Christ died with a broken heart. A broken heart for this world. If you ever love someone, young person, have you ever loved someone, older person, have you ever loved someone and they broke your heart? You ever had that experience where you were really in love and they broke your heart? When did it see the Savior on the cross? And this world broke his heart because he loved the world so much. He died heartbroken. But thank God he didn't just die. But thank God he raised again from the dead on the third day, triumphant over death, triumphant over hell, triumphant over the grave. I'm going to have to close, but the Savior's risen. If you tune in tonight, I'll show you about the leap year. I'll show you the leap year, because people say he was only 2 days dead. But Jesus Christ said, as Jonah was 3 days and three nights in the whale's belly, so must the Son of Man be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. But he raised up. He raised up because of the words of the psalmist David. Thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither will thou suffer thine Holy One to see corruption. Christ Jesus raised from the dead. I want to say this as I close. We're not preaching a dead Savior. We're preaching about a man that's risen. This is the difference. I always say this. I make no apologies. I will say it again. This is why true Christianity is superior to Buddhism or Mohammedism or any other ism for that matter. But Muhammad is in his grave. Still in it. If you went there, you'll get a pile of bones. Buddha's in his grave. A pile of bones. All them that they worship falsely are in the grave. A pile of bones. But Jesus Christ is not in his grave. But Jesus physically and bodily rose from the graves. And he appeared unto them in one place. He appeared to the disciples three different occasions. He appeared to them. And he even came through the door when it was closed. One of the times he came, Thomas wasn't there. And he said, I will not believe unless I see it. And Jesus Christ appeared again. What did he say? Put your fingers into the holes in my hand. He bodily rose. Some people preach that just the spirit rose. That's false preaching. The physical body of Jesus Christ rose. And he said, put your fingers into the wounds in my hands and into the wounds in my side. Jesus loves you this morning. My sister, the Lord loves you. The Lord loves you. My brother, the Lord loves you. God can change every circumstance you're going through. Bow your heads with me. The Holy Spirit's here. The power of the Lord's present here this morning, I'm telling you. God can do anything, absolutely anything. My friend, if you're in a vehicle this morning and you need prayer, lift your hand up and let me see it. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. God is real. God is so real. He's risen. He sent his Spirit to us. Father, we thank you. We thank you for the supreme sacrifice of all ages. No other offering could be compared to this offering. But your word says once and for all, hallelujah, which Christ offered up to bear the sins of many. Father, we know you're here by the Holy Spirit. We know the angels of the Lord. the Lord. Father, I pray in the name of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, for every hand raised this morning, that Thou will meet that need. Heal that man. Heal that woman. Heal that boy. Heal that girl. Save that man and save that woman, or that boy or girl, in Jesus Christ's name. I bless the people in the name that's above every name, the name of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Amen. God bless you as our brother Gary comes. Tune in this evening, 4:30. I've so much more to say, but that's just something. I trust you've been blessed. Want you to go home thinking about Christ's resurrected. He's risen, and He loves you, and He's very near you. He's very near you. He says, I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. I'm with you always. God bless you.
Praise God. Well, that was wonderful, wasn't it? Amen. Our lovely Saviour Jesus Christ. What a victorious death and resurrection it was. Oh, it was powerful. Nobody ever died like Jesus. Whenever He died, the earth shook and darkness covered all the face of the earth. Praise God. Amen. Nobody ever rose like Jesus. Amen. We're going to sing that. Him, He walked in Galilee. He prayed for you and me as He came to set us free. Amen. Please join in if you know it.
He walked in
afternoon at 4:30 on Facebook or on the internet. Praise God. We just close in prayer. Praise God. Our gracious God, we thank you indeed for the gift of your only begotten Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, we realize, Lord, that without him, Lord, we would have no chance at all. Lord, we thank you for your precious gift, and we thank you, Lord Jesus Christ, for going to the cross for us. Thank you, Lord, for enduring the cross and enduring all that they had done to you there, Lord. We thank you, Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, we just pray now that you'll cover each and every one of us with your precious blood as we go from here, and be with us each and every one. Continue, Lord, to minister and to speak to our hearts in the precious and lovely name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Amen. The Lord bless. Just sing a chorus or two as everybody is going. Praise the Lord. The Lord bless you.